Début du dialogue 7.
How did your holiday go? You went up north, didn't you?
Yes, it was my first long trip to the north of England. Well, I didn't find the north as grim as films like Billy Elliot, Brastoff and the Full Monty led me to expect. But what a difference there is between the north and the south.
Back in 1962, Britain was pulling slowly out of recession, and Harold Macmillan, the Conservative Prime Minister, said he was determined to prevent two nations developing geographically, a poor North and a rich, overcrowded South.
Brave words, but that was over 50 years ago, and my impression in 2013 is that he didn't succeed, or else his successors made enormous errors.
The task was hopeless. The industrial economy of the North began to crumble after the First World War, and the decline couldn't be stopped, even if it was slowed by subsequent wars and government policy. The decline can be seen in population figures. Between 1918 and 1962, the proportion of the population living in England's northern regions declined from 35 to 30%. In the 50 years since 1962, the figure has dropped even further, to 25%. That's a total reversal of the northward migration that took place in the 19th century.
Would you say the challenge is just as tough for David Cameron today?
Yes, it is. The North has lower employment rates and average incomes than the South.
I went through poor ex-industrial cities like Bradford and Middlesbrough and depressed towns like Consett near Newcastle. But I also saw wealthy parts like Sheffield Hallam, where I was told 60% of the residents have degrees. I went to York too, where the unemployment rate is a quarter lower than the national average.
The situation can be summed up in this way. In the north, there are islands of affluence in a sea of poverty. In the south, the sea is a sea of affluence. And the gap is widening. For much of the past 20 years, growth in Britain has come from two sectors. Government spending, primarily on healthcare and education, and the private service sector. The North has benefited mainly from the first. State spending accounted for nearly 65% of the jobs created in the North between 1998 and 2007.
And private sector growth has been heavily concentrated in the South.
That's right, and mostly in and around London. Between 1997 and 2010, output measured by gross value added grew by just over 60% in the northern regions, while in London and the South East, it increased by over 90%.
And the British government, like those of other EU countries, is trying to reduce the budget deficit. So the effect is being felt disproportionately in the north, I suppose.
Yes, public spending is being cut everywhere, but the cuts are actually sharper in the north in several ways. The government has cut funding for the regional development agencies that used to provide financial support for growth in the northern regions. And though infrastructure spending has been cut everywhere, several large projects have been left intact in the south, including Crossrail, Thameslink and the Olympic Games site.
I spent some time in Leeds, where I admired the way the city centre has been regenerated. A bright new shopping centre is being built, and all around are modern office buildings, proudly displaying the names of multinational companies.
The big northern cities have always aspired to compete with London, and cities like Leeds are progressing fast, but they still have a long way to go.
What can be done to improve the situation in the north?
The Chancellor of the Exchequer argues that Britain has become too dependent on the City of London and the financial sector, and he wants growth to come from an export-oriented manufacturing renaissance, which, he claims, ought to benefit the north.
And is there any chance that this strategy will work?
Unfortunately, the Chancellor's idea is based on the myth that the north depends on manufacturing. But in reality, actually making stuff in the northern regions accounts for less than 10% of employment. And that's barely higher than the national average.
Fin du dialogue 7.